wanted to tear your fucking clothes off since you walked through the front door. I really have wanted to get her naked since she arrived, but I'm not a monster. I could wait. I'd be happier than a pig in shit if she wanted to curl up on the couch and watch a movie, but I don't think that's what she needs right now. She needs to know just how bad I fucking want her. She needs to see for herself just how attractive I think she is. How that email isn't going to affect my need for her in any way, shape, or form. Silver winds her arms around my neck, digging her fingernails into my shoulder blades. Her eyes shine brightly as she reaches up to kiss me. She runs her tongue over the seam of my mouth, tugging on my bottom lip between her teeth, and my dick begins to throb, screaming for attention. Needy bastard. I come to a halt outside the bedroom, resting my hand on the doorknob. Say the word, and we can eat ice cream on the couch and watch Seinfeld. Or? She asks, breathlessly. I take you in here, and I eat you until you come. Her color is high, a small, dazed smile on her face.
Open the door, then. Seinfeld can wait.
I'm crowing in my head as I kick the bedroom door open and carry her inside. Silver yelps again, laughing as I throw her down onto the bed. I have her shoes off, her jeans down, her panties on the floor, and my fingers inside her before she can even draw breath. She grabs my wrist with both her hands, catching hold of me, stilling me so I can't move. Her eyes have doubled in size, and her mouth is hanging open.
Oh, fuck, Alex.
God damn, she is so fucking beautiful. Everything about her is perfect. In the small hours of the morning when the prospect of the future has kept me from sleeping and I've laid there, considering what will probably come of me, the life I've pictured for myself has been far from promising. Stuck working at The Rock for starters, putting in years for Monty, maybe joining the MC, doing runs, dropping off guns or drugs or dirty money whenever the need arises, not asking questions, keeping my head down. When I've felt optimistic, I've allowed myself to imagine Ben here, that I've gained custody of him and I'm a good role model to him. I keep him safe. The one thing I have never, ever imagined, though, is a girlfriend or a wife. I never thought I'd meet anyone I'd want to factor into my life. But now there's Silver. I'm almost panicked by the idea that she might like me as much as I like her. I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to risk fucking losing her. Fuck. What the hell are you doing to yourself, Moretti? Now is not the time to be worrying about that stuff. Just kiss the girl, make her feel good, make her fucking come. I take my own advice and shut all thoughts of what could be out of my head as Silver pants on the bed. She looks like something out of a fucking dream. Her hair spread out over the new duvet cover. Her eyes are locked onto my hand between her legs. She's staring at it, as if she's fascinated by the fact that I'm actually touching her.
Fuck, Alex. Oh my God, that feels so good.
She's already turned on and ready when I begin to pump my fingers inside her. Her pussy's wetter than wet. I had just my middle finger inside her, but I add my index finger, sweeping them up and toward myself in a beckoning motion. And Silver lets go of my wrist, grabbing hold of the duvet cover instead, fisting it in her hands.
Shit. Ah, shit. What the hell?
Her head is rocked back, her eyes closed tight, so I allow myself a smug little smile. If she thinks that feels good, she has no idea what I have planned for her. We both wanted each other so badly back at the cabin that it was pretty much impossible for either of us to hold back. I still really want her now, but I'm going to keep a tight leash on myself this time. I plan on bringing her to the edge of insanity tonight. I've already given her a taste of how good it can be between two people if they care about each other. Now, she's going to get the full experience. She whimpers, eyes flying open when I remove my hand from between her legs. She watches me, a little stunned as I slide my fingers into my mouth, sucking the slickness of her pussy from them. Fuck me, Silver. You taste so fucking good.
You're gonna be the death of me. My voice is rough with need. My dick is urging me to hurry the fuck up, hulk out of my clothes, shred her shirt and her bra from her beautiful body, and sink myself inside her. But that's not how it's going to go tonight. I take a couple of breaths, waiting for my heart rate to even out, and then I begin to slowly take off my clothes. Silver watches, transfixed. I still can't believe I'm lucky enough to have a girl like her look at me like that. It just doesn't make any sense. She's so good, so strong, so innocent in so many ways, and I'm nothing more than the dirt beneath her fucking feet. I shrug out of my shirt and stand there, looming over the bed, looking down at her with ravenous eyes. Her legs are fucking phenomenal. She arches her spine, taking hold of her shirt and pulling it up over her head, shedding it in a quick movement. I was planning on undressing the rest of her, but I can't seem to find it in me to stop her as she unhooks her bra and tosses it onto the floor. I spend a lot of time around strippers, so I've seen a lot of naked women. I don't even really see them anymore. I've become desensitized to the sight of so much bare flesh when I'm working at the Rock. It's not the same with Silver, though. Her tits are fucking amazing, flawlessly proportioned with the rest of her body, the perfect shape, not too big and not too small. Her nipples are a faint, blushed pink color, very pale. Her skin is the color of fresh poured cream. I can't tear my eyes away from the slight rise of her hip bones and the way the moonlight flooding in through the window plays over her body, casting shadows across the flat plane of her stomach and up her throat. Feels like I'm breaking all the rules having you here like this, I rumble. I meant for the words to come out light and easy, but they came out hard and coarse. I want her so fucking bad, I just can't keep the desire from my voice. I never thought I'd get to see something so beautiful. Alex, she whispers, don't just look. I want you to touch. I want you to lick. I want you to taste, please. I need you. God fucking damn it. Does she have any idea how hard it is to hold myself back when she says something like that? I grind my teeth together, sucking in a calming breath as I unbuckle my belt and lose my jeans. It's probably best if I keep the boxers for now. Silver sits up, positioning herself on all fours, edging down the bed. Her tits sway as she crawls toward me, and I have to bite back a groan. What are you doing? You're not leaving those on, she says. I'm not. She's so damn sexy. She sits back on her heels, hooking the material of my boxers beneath her index fingers, slowly wiggling them down over my hips. No, I want to look at you. I want to be able to see every last millimeter of you. She's a hell of a lot more confident than she was back at the cabin. There's still a hint of nerves in her eyes, though, as she... Holy fucking shit! Ah, fuck, Silver! Jesus! I was expecting her to work my boxers down my legs and then lay back on the bed. I sure as hell wasn't expecting her to take hold of my cock, press her lips to the tip, and suck it into her fucking mouth. She looks up at me, eyes searching my face as she slowly slides her mouth down onto my dick. A string of curse words flies out of my mouth. I have no idea what to say, though. My brain has seized. All I can do is watch as Silver carefully takes me deeper into her mouth, deeper and deeper, until I can feel the head of my cock butting up against the back of her throat. She bobs her head, slowly moving up and down my dick, and I can't. I have to stop her. Jerking my hips back, I pull out of her mouth, and my cock makes a wet popping as it springs free from her lips. Did I do something wrong? She pants. No, but I want to fuck your mouth so badly, Silver. I want to grab hold of your hair and shove myself all the way down your throat, and I'm trying to be a fucking gentleman. She smirks, glowing a little, looking a little pleased with herself. I take it that's why you were swearing in Italian? I laugh, noting with vague amusement that I sound a little shaky even to my own ears. I didn't even realize I had. Sounded very aggressive. You're gonna have to teach me how to say some of those.
Anything. Fucking anything. I'll give you whatever you want if you lie on your back and let me see that perfect, pretty little pussy.
She tries to act cool, tries to pretend that she isn't blushing as she rolls over onto her back and spreads her legs. But I see the bright spots on her cheeks. They make her look so damn innocent. I fall on her like the savage monster I am, grabbing her thighs and closing them around my head as I sink my tongue into her pussy. She pants and shakes against me, writhing, rocking her hips, screaming out a few curse words of her own by the time she comes. It nearly fucking kills me to show some restraint, but I accomplish what I set out to do. Silver surrenders up two more orgasms before she literally begs me to fuck her. I make her come once more on my dick before I finally allow myself to ride out the wave of my own climax, holding her tight in my arms, shuddering against her, and she clings to me, sighing out my name like a promise. For a long time, I bury my face into her neck, and I just breathe her in. She smells like summer, like gardenia and violets and bright spring mornings. Eventually, I stroke back her damp hair from her face, pulling her close to me and catching her up in the circle of my arms. "This the part where you make your excuses and leave?" I whisper against the crown of her head. She laughs quietly, pressing a kiss against the ink on my chest in return. "No, this is the part where I realize you've stolen my fucking soul, and I have no chance of ever getting it back."
She borrowed my line, but I don't mind. If it's the truth, if I have managed to lay a claim on her like that, then she can borrow as many of my lines as she damn well wants. Fuck it, she can have them all. We fall asleep, wound up in each other, spent, exhausted, and delirious on endorphins.
29. Silver. "What the hell do you want me to do with that?" The next morning, I look down at the helmet in Alex's hand like it's about to jump up and bite me. I woke up tangled in his arms, and for the first time in a string of seemingly endless, torturous days, I wasn't immediately crushed by the knowledge that I'd have to go to school alone and face Jacob and Casey. I knew I'd have at least one ally roaming the halls of Raleigh High, and that, along with the surprisingly crisp, unexpected sunlight flooding in through the bedroom window of Alex's trailer, had me feeling surprisingly upbeat about the day ahead. Now that same sunshine means I'm supposed to ride to school on the back of Alex's bike, though? He laughs mercilessly.
"No getting out of it, Argento. It's a nice day. No ice on the road."
I wrinkle my nose, eyeing the bike. "I don't think so."
"What? You don't trust me?"
"Sure, I trust you. It's all the other people on the road I don't trust." Alex takes the helmet and places it on my head before I can stop him, pushing it down firmly.
"Don't worry, I got you. I'll take care of you, I promise. Now get on the damn bike."
He throws his leg over the motorcycle, the blacked-out visor on his helmet hiding the highly entertained look on his face, and starts the bike, gunning it so I can feel the throb of the engine through the soles of my feet. If my mother knew what I was about to do, who am I kidding? She probably wouldn't mind. Dad had a motorcycle in high school, and she rode around on the back of that thing for years. It'd be reassuring to think there was someone out there willing me not to follow Alex's command, and that they'd be highly disappointed by my reckless actions. But I think even Grams would tell me to stop being such a pussy and get on. I mimic Alex's easy leg swing, and though I'm sure I look a hell of a lot less graceful than he did, I manage to get on without falling flat on my face. I feel, rather than hear, Alex laugh when I wrap my arms around him as tight as possible. The guy's gonna end up with bruised ribs by the time we arrive at Raleigh, but it'll serve him right for insisting I do this. I bite back a shriek of surprise when he kicks back the stand and we surge forward. My fears are forgotten the moment he pulls out of the trailer park and hits the main road, though. The wind pulls at my jacket, rushing through the open vents on the helmet, and a feeling of pure exhilaration sweeps over me. Alex leans into a corner as we hit the winding road that leads down into the valley toward Raleigh, and I let my body lean too, resisting the urge to fight gravity. And it's fucking amazing. We're flying, the bike rumbling between my legs, and I finally get it. This is what freedom feels like. I release my death grip, throwing my hands up into the air, whooping as we reach a straight, flat stretch of road, and Alex opens up the throttle. By the time we arrive at school gates 15 minutes later, I'm enjoying myself so much that I want to tell him to just keep on driving. The colors and sounds of the parking lot are heightened as I jump off the back of the bike, pleased that I somehow made it look as though I've performed the maneuver 1,000 times before. The old Silver would have panicked when she pulled off the helmet, irritated that her hair had been ruined and was sticking up all over the place. But now, I don't give a shit. I don't even attempt to tame it as I thump Alex in the arm, beaming from ear to ear. Oh man, you are so screwed. You have to teach me how to ride one of these things. When he takes off his helmet, the guard that Alex always wears around Raleigh is firmly in place. But I can see how pleased he is from the small smile that ticks at the corner of his mouth.
Can't do that, I'm afraid, he tells me, his face perfectly serious. I can't have a girlfriend who's cooler than me. Not my style.
I've always been cooler than you, Moretti. Alex reaches out, taking a piece of flyaway hair and tucking it behind my ear. His hand cups the side of my face, and I lean into his touch. I feel so damn light, like I could lift up off the ground and just float away.
I think you may be right, he says under his breath.
What the fuck is this?
The sour, angry note to the voice at my right brings me crashing back down to earth. It's Zen, and behind her, Casey. Both of them are wearing their cheerleading skirts, white socks pulled up to their knees, and matching expressions of disbelief.
Alex, Zen says sharply, I thought after the other night, you and I might be spending some time together.
She sounds reproving, like she's telling him off. Alex looks to me, eyebrows raised, like I might be able to explain why the fuck she's speaking to him like that.
Don't look at me, I say, laughing quietly. This one's all you.
Was I even speaking to you, slut? Zen sneers.
In a heartbeat, Alex's back is straight, shoulders drawn back, anger flashing like liquid mercury in his eyes.
Watch your fucking mouth, he growls. Call her that again, and we're gonna have issues.
Zen's mouth falls open. She looks stung, hurt even.
But, I'm sorry, I don't get it.
She screws her eyes closed, shaking her head, curls bouncing.
Silver's scum, Alex. She's a fucking nobody. Everyone at this school knows she's poison. You can't seriously want her over me.
I'd take just about anybody over you. But that's beside the point. Silver's fucking magnificent. She has more brain cells in her little finger than you spiteful, nasty little cunts have to squabble over between you. The fact that she'd even look at me twice makes me the luckiest bastard in the world. Now kindly, fuck off. We're bored of looking at your average, ordinary faces.
Holy fucking shit. Alex can't know much about Casey and the girls I used to call friends, but he couldn't have thrown a better insult if he'd tried.
Average? Ordinary? Fuck me.
Casey spent every waking moment of her life doing everything in her considerable power to make sure everyone around her sees just how extraordinary she is. She glowers at Alex over Zen's shoulder, her fury twisting her features into a mask of hatred.
You really shouldn't have said that, Alessandro. You're a lowly piece of trash we decided to pick up off the side of the road out of the goodness of our hearts. Most guys at Raleigh would have ripped their own right arm out of the socket to be given a front row seat at that show we put on for you. You do not reject us.
Funny, I seem to recall rejecting you over and over and over.
Casey grabs Zen by the arm, digging her fingernails into her skin. She looks like she's about to go nuclear.
You have no right to insult my friend.
Alex's expression is blank, untroubled, as he steps forward and leans down, shoving his face into Casey's. His voice is frighteningly calm as he says,
The insult was for the both of you. That's a nice act, though, playing the good little friend. I've heard all about how you really stand up for the people around you. I thought you were more of a leave him broken and bleeding in the gutter after the boy you like raped him kind of girl.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. I don't want this. I won't be able to handle this if he says one more thing about...
I mean, what kind of lowlife does that? He snarls. Who's jealous of a girl for being assaulted, for fuck's sake? There must be something seriously wrong in that coked-out brain of yours, Winters. I almost feel sorry for you. I can only imagine the therapy bill.
You're dead, Casey snaps. Fucking dead. Jacob's going to fucking murder you when he finds out what you just said to me.
Alex tuts under his breath. You think I haven't dealt with worse than you and Jacob Weaving, little girl? You people may have money. Your parents might be stuck-up assholes who think they're too good for the rest of this town, but do you honestly think you can beat me down with an empty threat? Jake isn't going to do shit to me. He's going to end his campaign against Silver. He's going to give her a wide berth if he knows what's good for him. And while Silver's deciding if she wants to change her mind and have me permanently disfigure him for what he did to her, you psychos are going to avert your eyes anytime either one of us walks by you in the hallway. Do you hear me?
Casey blinks rapidly, shrinking back on herself. To be fair, she doesn't look away, but the set jaw and her defiant sneer aren't fooling anyone, least of all me. He's obviously scared her. It's a miracle that I'm even capable of such emotion, but I feel sorry for her. Students have gathered around in fives and sixes, all watching the exchange, and no one has come to her aid. Some of my classmates are even laughing behind their hands, whispering to one another with smiles in their eyes. This is what it's like, Casey. This is what humiliation feels like. Stings, doesn't it?
Zen's the one who pulls Casey away. She spits and curses, shoving me out of the way, dragging Casey behind her. Casey yells back at us, though, ever the one to get the last word in.
You wouldn't have dared to speak to me like that in front of Jake. He'll hear about this. You're through. You're gonna be locked up before nightfall, motherfucker.
Jake hears about it all right. Sheriff Hainsworth shows up at Raleigh just before lunch, along with a tall guy in a tailored suit, who climbs out of a flashy Maserati and storms toward Principal Darhauer's office wearing a face like thunder. Not long after that, I'm called to Darhauer's office myself. In a sour mood, Karen barks at me, ordering me to sit down and wait outside to be called. When the door to Darhauer's office opens, Jake emerges first, looking like the smug piece of shit that he is, followed by Casey. Her face is splotchy and red, her mascara smudged, and I know for a fact it was smeared with her fingertip in the girls' bathrooms before she went in to put on her performance. She flips me off as she sails past, pretending to sniffle into Jake's shoulder.
Ms. Parisi, inside, please, Darhauer calls.
Jake's father's still in with him, leaning against a bookcase filled with encyclopedias, looking like he owns the damn place. Sheriff Hainsworth's standing at the window with his back to the room. Alex is nowhere to be seen.
Sit, Principal Darhauer orders.
I do so, dread spiking in my veins.
Some very grave accusations have been made against yourself and another student, Silver. It's my duty to investigate the legitimacy of these accusations and act accordingly, based on their veracity. Is there anything you'd like to tell me about what happened this morning?
Really? This is actually really happening? I laugh, unable to stop myself in time.
Young lady, you will take this seriously or lose the right to give your version of events at all, Mr. Weaving snaps. Actually, no, that's not... We can't do that, Caleb,
Principal Darhauer says wearily.
There are protocols in place for this type of thing. They have to be observed. Silver, just get on with it and tell us what happened. We all have things to be getting on with here.
Okay, I arrived at school with Alex.
That's Alessandro Moretti, correct?
Sheriff Hainsworth asks stiffly. He doesn't turn around. Yes. He grunts, and I feel like in confirming Alex's name, I've basically just signed some sort of confession of guilt.
Continue, Principal Darhauer urges.
I give him a rundown of everything that happened, bar any mention that was made about my assault. With Jake's father in the room, seems like a prudent plan. It takes all of 5 seconds to recount the petty spat that took place in the parking lot. When I'm done, Principal Darhauer bridges his hands in front of him, frowning deeply.
So, there were no threats of physical violence made by Alex toward Casey?
I'm sorry, what?
Ms. Winters is claiming that Alex Moretti pulled a knife from his bag and brandished it in her face. She said he told her he was going to slit her throat from ear to ear if she didn't leave you alone.
What the hell did he just say? I heard the words, but he could not have just said that. That is a flat-out lie, Principal Darhauer. Alex did tell Casey to leave me alone, but he didn't have a knife. He sure as hell didn't stick it in her face.
Jim, Casey's been dating Jake all summer. She was at my house with my family every single day for weeks. I know that girl, and she's sweet, kind, and thoughtful. I'm telling you, she wouldn't lie about something like this.
I burst out laughing, even as Principal Darhauer rolls his eyes at Caleb Weaving's preposterous statement.
Caleb, come on now. We all know that's not true. Casey's been known to spin a yarn in the past if it's helped get out of hot water. She's no saint. What about everything else she said? Caleb hisses. That Alex Moretti punk threatened my son, too.
Principal Darhauer ignores Mr. Weaving, but still, tiredly, gives him what he wants.
Casey claims Alex threatened to hurt Jacob Silver. She said he swore he and his biker friends were going to jump him and break every single one of his ribs.
Oh my God. This is getting more and more ridiculous by the minute. Alex said nothing of the sort. This is all just... Fuck, it's complete fabrication! Darhauer rolls back into his chair. Caleb Weaving stabs a finger in my direction.
See, listen to the language on her. You're going to believe this little upstart over my son and his girlfriend?
I have had enough of this bullshit to last me a lifetime. I narrow my eyes, digging my fingernails into my palms. Why is he even here right now? Shouldn't my dad be present if I'm being accused of something?
I fund this entire school, young lady. I own this building down to its crumbling foundations. Don't you dare presume to—
I ignore the bastard, looking Darhauer square in the eye. Alex did not have a knife. He did not threaten to hurt Jake either. I mean, what would he possibly have to gain?
Revenge, justice, satisfaction.
Jake already told me this kid wants his spot on the team, Jim. He's already tried to hurt him during practice. Poor sportsmanship, late hits, whispering all kinds of foul nonsense in his ears. I don't like it. I want that boy gone.
There was no knife on him when we searched him, Sheriff Hainsworth interjects, and his story matches up with the girl's. Can I get the hell out of here now? This is not a police matter.
You're not going anywhere, Mr. Weaving snarls. This most definitely is a police matter. That little shit's broken the rules of his probation.
By telling a prissy little rich girl that she's a prissy little rich girl?
He clucks his tongue disapprovingly as he shoves past Mr. Weaving, heading for the door.
Fortunately, calling a spade ain't illegal in the fine state of Washington just yet. If he sets something on fire or actually starts stabbing people, then you give me a call. In the meantime, I'm gonna release him and let him get back to class. I'm sure you two gents can handle an argument between two teenagers without me holding your hands.
I watch him go, horrified. Release him? What did he mean, release him? Principal Darhauer rubs at the lenses of his glasses, clearly very over this meeting.
Sheriff Hainsworth detained Alex in the back of his squad car, just for a moment while we talked in here.
He arrested him?
Detained, Darhauer repeats. Now, since no weapon was found on Moretti, and it's just his and your word against Casey and Zen's, I'm afraid measures must be taken if all of you are to remain at Raleigh. You and Casey used to be thick as thieves, Silver. Obviously, something happened to cause a rift between the two of you. You're both going to have to attend joint counseling sessions with Ms. Landry twice a week to iron out your differences. No, don't even bother, Silver. This is non-negotiable.
And the deadbeat on the motorcycle, Mr. Weaving demands. You have to suspend him, preferably for the rest of the semester. He has to learn a lesson, Jim. His type needs a firm hand to rein them in and show them who's boss.
No way! That's weeks worth of work. If you do that, there's no way he'll be able to catch up. He'll have to resit the entire year. Darhauer slams his open palm down on his desk,
The loud burst of sound nearly makes me jump out of my skin.
Alessandro Moretti is not being suspended. His attendance has been good, and his grades, despite the motorcycle, have been exemplary. Jesus, why the hell is everyone so bent out of shape about the kid's goddamn mode of transportation?
He cannot be allowed to play on the team,
Mr. Weaving says, voice rising with his anger.
That I simply will not allow. Jake's worked too hard and too long to have his dreams of playing for state crushed because of some orphaned, violent thug with an axe to grind. Do not test me on this, Jim. Believe me, I will make things very difficult.
When don't you make things difficult?
Darhauer mutters under his breath.
Excuse me?
I said fine, Caleb. Have it your way. Alex is banned from playing on the team for the rest of the year until graduation. He can play basketball or something else instead, for all I damn well care. Now that's an end to it. Silver, back to class.
Caleb, honestly, it's been a pleasure, as always.
Alex fumes like a smoking volcano as he burns across the lot, threatening to blow any second. Two identical red rings cuff his wrists, the skin broken and stained with dried blood. I have to jog to keep up with him, dodging around all of the other students pouring out of the building, heading toward their cars.
He told me to take the rest of the day off,
he growls, fishing in his pockets for his keys.
Like I'd earn myself a little break or something. I swear I want to fucking murder Jake Weaving right now, Argento. Him and his arrogant son of a bitch father.
Alex, it's okay. You're not going to lose the credit. It's still early enough to get you on another team, okay? Darhauer said so himself. Hey, look at me. I have to step up onto the low brick wall next to the bike, so I'm the same height as him. Taking his face in my hands, I hold him in place until he has no choice but to stop prowling up and down like a lion with a sore head and has to stand still.
I warned you hanging out with me would have consequences, I say softly. You can take this all back, you know, me and you. If they fuck with you again and do something to ruin your chances of getting custody of Ben, I'll never forgive myself. He meets my gaze with a fierce, unrelenting fire in his eyes.
You think I'll give you up because some dumb assholes want to make life hard for us? No fucking way, Silver.
Guilt nips at me, biting at my conscience. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. Fuck, I'm sorry you had to deal with any of that. Hainsworth definitely shouldn't have thrown you in cuffs over some stupid high school argument.
He could have done worse,
Alex says, tensing as he looks over my shoulder at something behind me. From the way his eyes are flashing, I'm willing to put money on it being Jake and Casey burning out of the lot in her matte black G-Wagon.
Hainsworth's patience with me is generally stretched pretty thin, he says. He could have thrown my ass in a cell, no questions asked. I'm sure Jake knew that. Things could have been much, much worse.
My parents think I have cheerleading practice. You want to go somewhere for a couple of hours? Cool down? The creases on Alex's forehead remain, but the agitation in his eyes dim a little.
Did you have somewhere specific in mind?
Yes, actually. I've seen where you live, Alex, but I still haven't seen where you work. I want you to take me to the Rock.
I don't know, Argento. The Rock isn't exactly an ideal spot for date night.
He's grasping at words, clearly trying to find a way to explain that his workplace is a den of iniquity, worthy of biblical renown. I've lived here my whole life, Alex. I hear plenty of things. I know what the Rock is. I've always been curious about what goes on behind those heavy wooden doors. And now, I have a handsome boyfriend who works there to sneak me in unnoticed. Come on, don't you think it'll be fun?
Alex considers. He stares off into the dark forest that borders the Raleigh High parking lot. He doesn't think it's a good idea. He's going to say no.
All right. But just because it's the middle of the afternoon doesn't mean anything at the Rock. It's a shit fight no matter what time of day it is. If you're ready for some incredibly loud music and lots of drunk people, and you're okay with the fact that you're going to come face to face with a fuckload of strippers, then sure, I'll take you.
The imposing, looming double doors of the Rock are infamous in Raleigh. You can see them, the burning torches mounted on either side of the thick, weathered wood from up on the road that takes you out of town toward Iron Springs. Besides the Rock, there's nothing of note between Raleigh and the coast. If you're seen pulling off of that long, winding road through Grays Harbor County, It's pretty damn obvious where you're going, and there are plenty of people in a small town like Raleigh who'd love to judge you for it, should they just so happen to recognize your license plates. There's no one around to see us peeling away from the road, though, as Alex steers the bike down a narrow, darkened driveway, the boughs of the trees forming a sinister-looking tunnel over our heads, blocking out what's left of the weak afternoon sun. Loud, thumping, grinding music reaches my ears before the building's even in sight. And then, there it is. A single-story, squat-looking structure constructed out of stone and rough-hewn rock, massive, and quite possibly the ugliest building I've ever seen. Alex navigates a path through the haphazardly parked vehicles in front of the bar, going around the side of the building where he pulls into a narrow bay reserved for staff only. I feel so alive as I climb off the back of the bike, humming from the excitement of the ride. Alex takes the helmet from me, grinning.
I really have created a monster, haven't I?
I nod, grinning back. Looks that way. I've been thinking about using the money I was saving to fix up the Nova to buy my own death trap now.
The Nova's gonna need some TLC real soon by the sounds of that engine, Alex says, poking me in the side. Maybe you should make do with borrowing my bike instead.
You'd let me borrow your bike? The fake surprised teasing in my voice makes him smile.
You're already holding my damn heart and my soul hostage, Argento. You might as well take everything else.
These things slip out of his mouth so effortlessly, like they're so easy to confess. Most guys his age would rather bite off their own tongues than admit they felt any emotional tie to a girl. Alex, of all people, who is so stony and withdrawn from the world most of the time, has no problem admitting whatever he's feeling to me, though. There's a surprise around every corner with Alex. I still have to pinch myself whenever he looks down at me, and I see the longing in his eyes, like I'm something of value, to be treasured, to be adored. My dad told me this place was commissioned by one of the scientists who worked on the U.S. nuclear program during the Second World War. He was paranoid, so he had this place built. It was designed to survive the fallout if Seattle were ever hit by a nuke dropped by the Nazis. Does it really have an underground bunker? He tells you that you own his heart and soul, and you start talking about the fucking Nazis. Way to go, Silver.
Yeah, he replies, chuckling under his breath. But trust me, you don't want to go down there.
Why? Are you nervous bringing me here? He takes me by the hand. Laughing, he leads me toward an emergency exit at the rear of the building that's been propped open with half a brick.
You don't want to go down there because it's a sex club, Argento. And no, why would I be nervous?
Sex club? Lord. I do my best to hide my surprise at that revelation. Because this is where I find out how many strippers you fucked. I'm only half serious, half joking, but it has occurred to me, Alex might only be 17, but he easily looks 21. Not to mention the fact that he's hot as hell. There's no way he hasn't been involved with the women who dance here.
I haven't fucked any of the strippers, Silver, he says ruefully. Most of the girls who dance are also available for extra services, private services. And I don't sleep with girls who fuck for a living. I respect their choices, it's their decision to make, but I also respect my dick. I don't want it to fall off.
They're running a brothel? Alex shakes his head no.
The girls might meet or find a client here, but they cater to them at home, or in a hotel room. Whatever. The owner, Monty, will fire any girl on the spot if he finds out she's been screwing the customers on his property.
Right. So we're not going to stumble across anyone fucking in a hallway then. Cue nervous laughter. Alex winks, ushering me inside through the emergency exit.
Don't worry, Argento. As long as we stay above ground, I promise you there will be no fucking.
30. Alex. This place is and always has been a dirty little secret. It's been renamed 1,001 times in 1,001 ways. The bank, the grocery store, the post office. When a guy's wife asks him where he's been, he'll say he was at the game. When a woman has to explain to her husband why she smells of stale booze and cigarette smoke, she'll tell him she was pulling an extra shift on the casino floor. Very few people tell the truth and admit to spending time at the Rock, though.
It's tantamount to saying, I cheated on you, I fell off the wagon, I stole the housekeeping money, I broke a promise I swore I would never break. When the door swings open and someone new arrives at the Rock, the customers already at the bar or snuggled into the booths all hold their collective breath, heads turning in unison, squinting into the dark to see if, horror of horrors, it's someone they might know. We walk through the winding hallways, past Monty's empty office, and through the staff-only door into the bar. 50 pairs of eyes turn on us as the patrons take a beat to assess the newcomers. It only takes a half a second for the regulars to recognize my face. In the far corner, on the stage, a Led Zeppelin cover band is murdering a whole lot of love. On the narrow catwalks that protrude out onto the bar floor, two of Monty's favorite girls are already down to their bikini tops and G-strings. I'm so used to this place that nothing about it surprises me. What the hell is Silver making of all this, though? I try to see the place through her eyes, to imagine what she's thinking right now, but it's impossible. I'm jaded and rotten down to my core, and Silver is a fucking innocent. She's good. We're too dissimilar for me to piece together what might be going through her head as Jasmine, the stripper closest to us, sinks slowly to her knees, arching her back, eyes heavy-lidded, glossed lips parted, and she slides her hands beneath her bikini top, cupping her own breasts. When one of the loggers sitting at the edge of the catwalk drops $3 bills in front of her, she teases the material of her bikini top aside, exposing her tits, squeezing them in her hands, her pierced nipples on display, and Silver tenses beside me.
Moretti, what the fuck, dude?
Ah, shit. I scan over the top of the crowd searching for Paul, the owner of the loud, obnoxious voice that just called out across the bar. Takes me a second to find him behind the altar on the other side of the room. Taking Silver by the hand, I steer her toward him, doing my best to keep my face as emotionless as possible. When we reach the bar, Paul, one of Monty's nephews, the tallest, skinniest guy I've ever come across, glares at me, anger simmering in his eyes.
You fucking kidding me right now?
He hisses.
You know you can't be here unless you're on shift. No underage drinking at the Rock. Fuck you, Paul. I'll come here whenever I want, and you'll shut your goddamn stupid, ugly, dumb, moronic.
I can't keep it up any longer. He's already starting to smile, his eyes crinkling at the corners, and once he starts, I can never keep my shit together. I laugh, dropping the act as he leans across the bar, holding his fist out for me to bump.
What's up, man?
Paul arches his eyebrow, jerking his head none too subtly towards Silver. I know it's absolutely killing him not to openly point at her and demand to know who she is. Paul's barely 3 years older than me, attempting to graduate college this year if he can get his grades up, but he acts like he's still in high school. Paul, this is Silver. Silver, this is Paul. No, I wouldn't do that. I grab hold of her arm before she can shake the hand he's offering to her. You don't know where he's been. Paul lowers his hand, throwing a bar rag over his shoulder. Asshole, I'm cleaner than you. Doubtful. Paul lives here above the bar, which means he probably pops antivirals like most people pop daily vitamins. Monty's not in? Paul pulls a face at me in return for the jab. He went out on a run. Be back in a couple of hours. You need him?
No, just saw he wasn't in his office.
You want a drink then? Or are you pretending you're a good boy in front of your beautiful friend?
Ha ha, dickhead.
No, I think we're going
tequila,
Silver says, leaning her elbows against the bar.
Shots, two, please. And Alex doesn't have to pretend to be anything around me. I know who he is.
My dick is immediately hard, throbbing against the inside of my thigh, partly because of the way her ass is sticking out, looking perfectly fucking biteable in her tight black jeans, but also because of the sassy confidence she's emitting as she watches Paul place the shot glasses down on the bar.
On me, Paul says.
I knew I was saving my promo tab for a good reason. See me if you want another round. Colleen's fucking PMSing. She tried to choke out the new bouncer because she caught him looking at her ass. She'd probably charge you double for your drinks right now sooner than comp them. Oh, and no offense, he says, grimacing at Silver. About the PMS thing. I'm a total feminist. But seriously, it's a real thing here. The girls all sync up. It's like fucking Armageddon 1 week out of the month. Throw down the shovel, man. Walk away. You're not doing yourself any favors. I laugh, picking up one of the tequila shots. Silver hardly seems bothered by Paul's comment. The savage little smirk on her face says she's enjoying watching him squirm, though. Paul slides his two wedges of lime on a cocktail dish and then heads off to serve someone else, flipping the bird at me over his shoulder as he goes. He seems nice, Silver offers. She's holding her shot, the back of her hand already salted. Didn't realize you were such a hardened drinker, Argento. You look like a semi-pro right now.
Yeah, well, you forget. I was friends with Casey for a long time before I was cut from their little squad, and Casey Winters will drive anyone to drink, friend or otherwise. Come on, down in one.
She licks the back of her hand, and I can't fucking help myself. I grab her by the back of her head, hand fisting in her hair, and I kiss her. Her lips are so damn soft. She sighs into my mouth. Breath sweet and warm, and I have to convince myself it'd be a bad idea to tear her clothes off and fuck her up against the bar right here and now. Using the flat of my tongue, I stroke it against her own, stealing the salt she just licked from her hand, and my mouth aches with the taste of the sea, of a childhood spent running up and down Black Sand Beach with an icy wind pulling at my clothes. She moans, a quiet, tense pant of pleasure, and my hands almost get to work on the button of her jeans. Silver opens her eyes and looks up at me, pupils dilated, her cheeks flushed. And I realize a little too late, maybe, that my thumb is rubbing along the addicting curve of the underside of her breast.
Alcohol, she whispers, dazed. Shit, let's do this shot before I embarrass the crap out of myself and climb you like a tree, Alex.
I can't tear my eyes away from her. I keep her in my sights as I throw back the tequila, the burn lighting me up from the inside as the booze floods my chest. I'm fucking fascinated by the way the shot glass presses against her bottom lip, the way the muscles in the graceful column of her throat work as she swallows, the tiny wrinkles that form on the bridge of her nose as she shakes her head, wiggling her fingers as the tequila hits her. Oh, holy fuck. You stupid son of a bitch, Alex. How can I not have realized until now? Feeling more than a little slow on the uptake, it occurs to me that at some point, I became so enthralled with Silver Parisi that there isn't a part of her I'm not completely and utterly in love with. She wipes her mouth with the back of her hand, cringing when she notices me staring at her.
What? Did I spill it all down my face?
She asks.
You didn't do the lime.
I don't need the lime.
Of course you do. It's the rule. You do the shot and then you...
Silver.
Do the lime. We have to get another...
Silver. She finally stops talking, looks up at me, eyes a little bright from the tequila.
Yeah?
I lean into her, brushing her hair back behind her ear. Only she can hear me when I whisper into the shell of her ear. I'm in love with you. Did you know that? She stiffens, her breath catching in her throat. When she looks at me out of the corner of her eye, her smile is gone, and she... Fuck, why does she look afraid?
Yes.
Her voice cracks on the word.
I did.
Why didn't you tell me? I stroke the back of my index finger over the smooth porcelain of her cheek. Fuck, she's so fucking beautiful it makes me want to scream. To trash the entire bar and set the whole place ablaze. I can't fucking take how perfect she is.
It's not my place to tell you your feelings, Alex.
She's putting on a brave face on it, laughing lightly, trying to be glib. But her hand, still holding her shot glass, is shaking. I take hold of it, closing my own around it, steadying her. I know plenty about lust. There's very little anyone could tell me about want. There hasn't been a day in my life when I haven't needed something or someone. But love? Shit. I hardly know anything about love, Silver. I'm out of practice. You're gonna need to help me out a lot with this one.
Who's to say I know any more about it than you do? She asks. The bar's loud as hell, the band striking up another song, laughter and chatter all around us, but I hear her as clearly as if we're standing in a silent room, quiet enough to hear a pin drop. Who's to say I'm not going to need just as much help? My chest feels like it's splitting open. My heart's a fucking ruin. Why? What does that mean, Argento?
It means, God, Alex, don't you know that I love you too? That I have no idea what the hell I'm doing either?
Her playful smile has disappeared. Her eyes are shining even worse than before. Only now the burn from the tequila is gone, and it looks as though she's about to burst into tears. I cradle the side of her face, cupping her cheek in my hand, brushing my thumb against the line of her cheekbone. Fuck, I whisper. Is it too much? Loving me? If the answer's yes, then I'll take you home right now. I'll change schools. I'll go, and you'll never have to see me again. I don't ever, ever want to cause you pain. She catches hold of me by the wrist, turning toward me, a look of panic on her face.
No, Alex, no. Don't you dare let me go. Loving you is the only thing that makes any sense right now. It's everything else around us that's fucked up beyond belief.
I'm suddenly aware of someone standing next to us, on the other side of the bar. Paul's returned, and he's got a fresh bottle of tequila in his hand. The roar of the bar comes crashing back down around us, people pressing in on all sides.
Looked like the one shot wasn't gonna cut it, Paul says, smirking. Thought you guys might appreciate some bottle service.
He gestures for our glasses. I give him mine, and Silver slides hers robotically toward him over the sticky countertop. Neither of us speaks as he tops us up and winks.
I know we just met, he says, addressing Silver. But I will tell you this. This guy has never brought a girl here, and I have never seen him look at anyone the way I just saw him looking at you. I had to run to the bathroom and throw up before I could bring this over. It was positively disgusting. That said, if he's done something to upset you, I already like you enough to take him out back and tan his tattooed hide for you. Just say the word and it's as good as done.
Fuck you, asshole. You're dreaming if you think you could, I say, scowling at him half-heartedly. Silver just smiles shyly.
It's okay. He hasn't done anything wrong. In fact, he did the opposite. He just made me really, really happy.
Silver. We drink, we dance, we talk, and then we dance some more. Once we're sick of the noise in the bar, Alex takes me to a flat, dry spot on the hill behind the rock, and we lie there for a couple of hours, freezing, looking up at the stars, talking about Ben and Max. The fresh air works wonders, and by the time the Uber pulls up in front of the house to drop me off, I'm stone cold sober. The windows are all in darkness apart from one. Dad's office window. He told me to be home by midnight, so it was safe to assume he was going to wait up for me and make sure I abided by his curfew. A wishful part of me had been hoping he might have just said, fuck it, and gone to bed, though. I see the blinds twitch and curse between my teeth. I get out of the ride and let myself into the house, bracing for the litany of questions that will be coming any second now. In 3, 2, 1.
Silver,
he calls from his office. Damn, no sneaking up the stairs unnoticed then. I close my eyes, take a deep breath, then walk down the hall and stand in the doorway. Hey, Dad. He takes his glasses off and sets them on his desk.
12:03, kiddo.
Are you gonna cane the back of my hands? I say, grinning at him.
For 3 minutes? I should think only a light beating's in order. How was your night?
I sigh, hiking my backpack up on my shoulder. You know. Drunken debauchery, half a bottle of tequila, running around naked, howling at the moon, the usual. It's a low blow, using the truth to throw him off guard. I don't feel good about it, but it's better than an outright lie.
And the car?
Hmm?
You rolled up in an Uber. The Nova crap out on you?
Yeah, it's been acting up for days. I left it at Alex's. He says he's gonna take a look at it for me in the morning.
Well, I guess having a boyfriend who knows his way around an engine has its perks. Tell him to come over for dinner tomorrow night. Your mom and I want to get to know him a little better. Dad, how about you drag the guy over here tomorrow night without a fuss, and I won't make a stink about the fact that I can smell all that booze on you from 15 feet away, hmm? I chew the inside of my cheek, knowing defeat when I see it. Well played, sir. Well played. He turns back to his computer, sliding his glasses back on.
Don't wake your brother up on your way to bed, he says in a very sing-song voice. Otherwise, I'll be forced to rethink my very forgiving mood.
I laugh softly under my breath. Night, Dad. 31. Silver. I wake up to a throbbing, thumping drumbeat pounding somewhere right behind my head. I'm gonna fucking kill my brother. Since when did he start listening to house music? And what the fuck time is it? The kid needs to learn some goddamn manners. Cracking my eyes open, I find my watch on the nightstand and peer blearily at Mickey, blinking rapidly when I see that it's nearly 7:15. Fuck! Fuck, fuck, fuck! I'm so screwed. Like, definitely going to be late for first period if I don't fucking move screwed. My bedroom pitches as I sit bolt upright, and the thumping gets even louder, pulsing through my extremities and rattling against the inside of my skull. I realize, misery sinking in, that there is no music, and the pounding is actually my own heartbeat hammering at my temples. Just fucking awesome. I haven't had a hangover in a long time. The effects of all the tequila I drank yesterday might have worn off by the time I sank into bed last night, but was I smart enough to chug a liter of water before I fell asleep? Nope, I was not. I'm so dehydrated, my tongue feels like sandpaper as I peel it from the roof of my mouth. I'm coming in, Syl, my mother calls from the other side of my bedroom door. No, Mom, I'm not dre- She enters before I can complete the protest. She's fully dressed, way smarter than usual, in a full suit and salmon pink silk shirt. Her hair is tied back into an intricate braid, and her makeup is on point. Generally, at this time of morning, she's still rushing around in her pajamas, trying to locate her keys, or a report, or one of her shoes. She's holding a tumbler in her hand with what looks like a raw egg inside it. She crosses my room, shoving the glass in my face, and says, "Down the hatch." "Thanks, I'm good." "Don't be a baby. Just pinch your nose and swallow it in one. It'll make you feel better." "Or make me hurl," I counter. "Either way, you'll feel better." I take the glass, hoping she'll leave, but she doesn't. "Fine, have it your way." I nearly retch when I force the raw egg down the back of my throat, gagging on the texture. She takes the glass from me, folding her arms across her chest. "You're only gonna get so many hall passes, you know. Don't think I've forgotten about the guy in the boxer shorts at the cabin." "You mean the guy who carried you inside, covered in mud and soaked from the rain, because you were having a nervous breakdown? I haven't forgotten about him either. Dad wants him to come for dinner tonight." Mom's expression falters. She came in here with the tough parent act, ready to try and reassert her position of power over me. But now, she's back to worried Mom keeping secrets again. "That might not be a good idea," she mutters. "Tell me about it. Don't worry, he won't mention the fact that the two of you have met before." "Silver, this can't go on. There has to be some sort of—" "I don't want to hear it. Not from her. Not this morning." I hold a hand up, cutting her off. "Why are you dressed like that?" "I have an interview at 9. I didn't think it'd be appropriate to keep working at the firm after—" "You had an affair and slept with your boss?" I glower at her, daring her to try and play it down. She clears her throat uncomfortably. "Anyway, I gave my notice yesterday. I applied for an auditing position at the mayor's office. If I get the position, it'll be a big step up. Better all round. More money, more time off." She smiles hopefully, rolling the empty glass between her hands. I think she's waiting for me to say something positive. "Well, congrats, Mom. Failing upwards. Great job. I suppose I should be grateful Mayor Reed's a woman, right? At least I won't have to worry about you fucking her." The sound of the slap registers in my ears before I feel the sting of it against my cheek. Mom's face is a picture of rage. Her expression quickly transforms into one of shock, though. She covers her mouth, taking a step away from my bed. "I'm sorry, Silver. Shit, I shouldn't have done that." "No, you shouldn't. Let me grab some ice." "Why, so you can avoid having to explain the huge red welt on my face to Dad? Don't bother. I'm gonna be late for school."
I storm into my bathroom, sliding the lock closed behind me, quickly turning the shower on. Mom calls my name through the door, but I don't answer her. Standing in front of the bathroom mirror, I clasp my hand to my cheek, letting out a shuddering breath. There's no stopping the tears. I sob silently, staring at myself in the mirror, my heart breaking in two as I try and figure out who I hate more this morning. My mom, for hitting me, or myself, for being such a spoiled little bitch. Thanks for dropping the car off again and picking me up and for listening to me rant, I groan. Alex isn't even slightly hungover, a fact that I'm incredibly jealous of, since I still feel like I'm going to throw my guts up any moment. We're already at my locker, having made it successfully into school and through AP Physics without encountering Casey, Jake, or any of their minions. The bell's about to ring for second period any moment. You're welcome, Alex says, leaning against the locker next to mine as I rummage around for my English textbook. And I'm happy to listen to you rant. Families are tough. Moms are tough. You think I should go easier on her, don't you? He thinks about this. No. She betrayed you and Max, too, when she cheated on your dad. She probably deserves a rough week or two. But you think you should go easier on her, don't you? How? How the hell can he read my mind like that? I shove my textbook into my bag, sighing heavily as I slam my locker door closed. I really hurt her this morning. I saw it on her face, and I wanted to hurt her so fucking bad, but...
But she's your mom, and you love her, Alex finishes. It's okay to forgive her, you know. The world won't stop turning.
But it's not up to me to forgive her. That's my dad's job. But he can't. He's never even gonna get that opportunity because I told mom to keep her mouth shut. And now the air inside the house feels so fucking toxic I can't even breathe in there, and it just seems like everything is going to explode. Crack. On my last word, a loud, sharp explosion sounds at the other end of the hall, and my heart fucking stops. I frown at Alex. What the fuck? I know what that loud bang sounded like, but there's no way. Not here. Not at Raleigh. A chorus of screams go up outside the entrance to the cafeteria. Alex grabs hold of me by the top of my arm. His eyes are huge in his face. He's craning over the top of the students crowding in the hall, trying to see what's happening. That's when the second loud crack rips through the air, and all hell breaks loose. Shooter, Alex hisses between bared teeth. There's a fucking shooter.
Shooter?
Fuck, come on. He yanks me by the arm, pulling me along the line of lockers, heading toward the exit. My legs follow along automatically, but my body's twisted. I'm trying to face the other way, trying to get a clear image of what's going on behind us. What the hell is he talking about? Alex said, shooter, but the word makes no sense. Even the panic on my classmates' faces doesn't make any sense as they begin shoving down the hallway, shouting, dropping books and bags in their attempts to flee for the double doors that lead out toward the parking lot. Alex? God, my head is spinning. The edges of my vision are blurring, smudging the posters on the walls and the faces of the other students together in a streak of too bright color. Alex doesn't look back. His fingers are gouging into my arm, his nails digging into my skin. The bone feels like it's going to shatter as he urges me along with him, but I don't want him to let go. I need to stay with him. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. God, don't fucking leave me. Crack, crack. Two shots this time. The press of bodies heading for the door becomes suffocating as everyone rushes forward, trampling on those who have fallen, the smell of fear and acerbic gunpowder thick in the air. They're locked! The doors are locked! The shout goes up at the front of the crowd. A kid I recognize from the chess team, Gareth Foster, is frantically pulling on the doors, trying to force them open, but they aren't even budging. Alex stops dead, his mission for the doors abandoned. Turning to me, his eyes flash cold as he takes hold of me by the chin and speaks in a calm, even tone.
The music rooms, Silver. What's the quickest route to the music rooms?
The music rooms?
Concentrate, Argento. Think, how can we get there without having to push through all this?
Oh my God, Cora! Cora's been shot! Terrified wails go up in the hallway, deafening, and tear-streaked kids blunder, fumbling to get the classroom doors open.
I watch, stunned, as Laughlin Moss, one of Raleigh's best linebackers, slams a girl out of the way, knocking her to the floor as he bulldozes his way into Mr. Biltmore's history classroom.
Silver. Silver!
Alex's hands are on my shoulders. He shakes me roughly.
Silver, I know this is really fucked up, but I need you to listen to me right now. How do we get to the music rooms from here? Is there a way other than the main corridor?
The back stairs. Through the science block. You can go through that way.
All right. Good girl.
He presses a hard kiss against my forehead, hugging me to him fiercely.
Go. Go up to the music rooms and lock yourself in the sound booth. You hear me? You'll be safe there until the police get here.
Fear closes around my heart, squeezing too tight. What? Alex, no. I'm not leaving you. I'm staying with you.
I need to try and find the guy with the gun.
The school's PA system buzzes, a high-pitched tone shrieking from the speakers. Attention! School lockdown in full effect. All faculty members, code orange. I repeat, code orange. All students remain in classrooms and bar all doors. Do not come out until authorized by police or school officials. Oh my God, this is happening. This is really fucking happening. Alex braces my head in his hands, forcing me to look up at him.
Okay, stay calm, it's okay. Shh, I'm coming with you, I'll come with you. Go, let's go.
The hallway's half emptied already. At the far end of the hall, I see a body laid out on the ground, pens scattered everywhere, and the white floor is stained with stark, bright red streaks of blood. Alex takes me by the hand again. He drags me behind him, heading for the stairway up toward the science block, which means we're actually heading toward the body. Alex, no, not that way. I try to pull my hand free, but his grip tightens.
Keep down. I'm not gonna let anyone hurt you. Stay close. Hurry.
I duck down, sticking close to his heels, following his instructions. I've thought about what I'd do in situations like this. We've prepped, drilled, practiced. I thought I'd be calm. I thought I'd be clear-headed. I thought I'd be okay. I thought wrong.
Crack!
Alex shoves me to the ground. I can feel him over me, his body on top of mine, his chest up against my back. His ragged breathing is so loud in my ear.
Sarah! Oh my God! Sarah! Sarah, no!
The petrified shrieking cuts me down to the bone. I know the voice.
Oh shit, please, don't fucking, just...
Crack! We need to move, Alex pants. I need you to run, Silver. I need you to run toward that stairwell, up, and through the science block. Do not stop. Do not look back. I'll be right behind you. Can you do that for me?
I don't know.
You can, Silver. I know you can. You're brave and you're fucking fast. Come on. We have to get out of here right now.
I scrunch my eyes closed, trying to grab hold on the terror lashing around in the pit of my stomach. It takes every scrap of willpower I possess, but I manage to calm myself. Okay.
Okay?
I nod beneath him.
All right. One,